Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
Yeah, it is a final from Cleveland. The results are good. The results not so good for the Milwaukee Bucks. We will continue to, if you want to jump in here and just relieve a little stress on the Milwaukee Bucks disappointment tonight, we'd be happy to have you. Also, if you want to celebrate another Brewers victory with us, happy to have you as well. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas. And a Brewers 7-1 win, game one of this three-game weekend set against the Cleveland Indians and a good Indians baseball team. They came into this game at 24-13. And obviously with the loss, just 10 games over 500, 24-14 for the Indians. But the Brewers, more importantly, they get the victory to get to 18-19. And guys, just a bigger window here since being swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've rattled off 7 of 11. They're 7-4 since that sweep in Pittsburgh. Now, to tighten the window just a little bit more as we are here, September 4th, the Brewers have won 5 of their last 7 games, 5-2 in their last 7 games. And, you got to kick and scratch and claw your way into victories. And scrap, I think, was the word used by counsel the other day. Thank you very much. I've been using that for a while. These guys are going to have to be scrappers. And they just scrap for a win any way you can get it. Now, we'll start out this program with the Chevy MVB. Brought to you by Chevy, the 2020 new Chevy Silverado. You can check it out at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Corbin Burns, again, ladies and gentlemen. Will the right Corbin Burns step up? And he is doing that this year. When you look at his appearances now, 8 appearances, 5 starts. He has a .235 earned run average. 5 starts. That's no in this season. That's no, not really a small sample size anymore. That's getting up there with the big boys of 7 or 8 starts here. Corbin Burns has an ERA of .235. There's your Chevy MVB. Another sparkling performance from Corbin Burns tonight against a good Cleveland Indians ball club. He goes 6-plus innings of work tonight, just allows 3 hits, 1 run. That was unearned, a pair of walks, and 7 strikeouts for Burnsy. Man. Between him and Woody and Young and Good, and those of you screaming to me for the last how many years to get Young pitching or to get pitching in general, that might be your 1-2 punch, guys. It might be. Let's get into our game recap. If you want to jump in here, Bucks or Brewers, 414-799-1250. Brewers in the first inning off Carrasco, a base hit by Ben Gamel. He had a big night tonight again, guys. Keston Hira then drew a walk, bases, a couple of runners on base, and, that didn't turn out very well. Strikeout to Yelich, strikeout to Jerko, strikeout to Vogelbach. Maybe a turning point in this game, Let's hold off on that. Burns, a leadoff double in the bottom of the first, gets a pop-up. A couple of ground balls to get out of that thing. Nicely done from Burnsy back in that first inning. Both teams, 1-2-3 in the second inning. Okay. Crew, leadoff walk in the third inning, erased on a double play. Brewers off the board, but Corbin Burns matching Carrasco toe-to-toe through three. A couple of punch-outs in that third inning to the fourth inning, no score. Brewers get on the board in the fourth inning with one out, base hits by Jerko and Vogelback, and then a flyout by Arcia. Jace Peterson then works a walk. And how about the baseball luck finally for the Brewers with an infield single?
Here's Urias. And a slow bouncer. It's going to die in the infield grass. And the Brewers will take the lead. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just off put the ball in play. Give yourself a chance, right?
Yeah, off the bat of Luis Urias. And I'm with you, Rock. Highlight from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Get the ball in play. Good things happen. We've seen a lot of good things happen against the Brewers. Good things for the other team. But right there, Luis Urias, an infield single, gives the Brewers a one-zip lead. Shut down. Bottom of the fourth inning for Burnsy, pitching a beauty into the fifth inning. Leadoff base hit by Gamble in the top of the fifth. Erased on a double play again. Burns in a one-zip game into some big trouble. In the bottom half of that fifth inning, walk, base hit, base hit, bases loaded, nobody out for the Cleveland Indians. Then he gets a huge strikeout for the first out, and a ground ball to third. They force the runner at the plate. Nottingham then throws to first to try to complete the double play. It hits the base runner. I thought he was running inside the line and didn't give a clear path for a throw. I'm not sure it counts. I'm not sure Counts argued enough on that. Jerry Meals, by the way, behind the plate, had his issues. I will say that. Allowing the tying run to score there on that play, then Burns with the ground ball to get out of it. Bases loaded, nobody out jam against the Cleveland Indians, and he gives up just the one run. That's an unearned run right there. Minimize the damage, just the one run, 1-1 to the sixth inning. As neither team scores in the sixth inning. Vogelback, however, with a base hit, 2-for-3 to that point. Burnsy and Carrasco going at it into the seventh. However, Carrasco's day is done after his six innings of one-run ball. Tied in the seventh inning. The Brewers on the board in the seventh inning. Leadoff walk by Urias. Strikeout to Nottingham. Haynes is ejected during that Nottingham at-bat. Just a horrible call on a inside pitch. They said he swung at it. Haynes is squawking. I heard Craig Counsell drop some bombs in there. I mean, the audio is really good tonight. And you got to listen. If you get a chance, listen to that situation. Andy Haynes, the hitting coach, he was ejected at that point. Ben Gamble then with a base hit, first and third. Benny's third hit, Keston Hira. How about this for the Brewers' second baseman?
One down here in the seventh. And Harris swings at that first pitch, right field. Back to the wall, off the wall. And the Brewers are going to take the lead. Urias scores.
Wow.
And Milwaukee out in front, 2-1 as Keston Hira comes through.
Yeah, good hustle by Keston Hira. I thought maybe he thought it was out of the ballpark, but he was on his horse the whole time, able to get into second base. Well, that's a big hit for Hira.
Yeah, I love it. The audio really good. You heard the Brewers dugout going crazy in there. Brewers lead 2-1 in the seventh inning, second and third, just the one out, one in, 2-1. Indians go to their bullpen at that point. Again, Yelich. And this is what happens when you get a baseball in play.
Yelich pounds one into the ground, and it's misplayed. And the Brewers are going to score two runs, and Yelich on his way to second base.
Yeah, how about that? We've been talking about their defense all night, how good it has been. Man, looked like Santana wanted to make a throw to home plate, just forgot about catching the baseball. Two runs in. Maybe an RBI for Christian, only one RBI, then an E3. Our Badger Mutual Insurance run of the game. Yeah, he was trying to go home. And by the time the Indians grab the baseball, two runs are in. And good base running out at second base by Keston here to score. He never slowed down.
And it goes down officially as an error, but we'll take it 4-1. Yelly ends up on second base right there. They intentionally walk Jerko, and then Brawny to pinch hit for Vogelback. This is why Craig Counsell, we need to trust him a little bit. Vogelback is 2-for-3 at this point. Then he goes to Ryan Braun to pinch hit, and Brawny comes through.
Two balls and two strikes to the Brewers pinch hitter, Ryan Braun. And right up the middle, base hit. Here comes Yelich. And Milwaukee has another one in. It's 5-1 as Braun comes through with the pinch hit RBI single.
Boy, he loves the lefties, doesn't he? Had a breaking ball up in his zone, and he pounds it right back into center field. Kind of a hanger up in his zone, out away from him. That is just in the sweet spot for Ryan Braun, and Christian Yelich able to come around to score.
Makes it 5-1 in that seventh inning. Four runs in the inning. They bat around in that frame. Three hits, a walk, an error, an ejection. 5-1 into the bottom of the seventh. Burns coming back out for the seventh, but he walks the leadoff man on four pitches. Counsell has seen enough. Brent Suter summoned from the bullpen, who goes three up, three down, and his three men faced a couple of punch-outs there. Burnsy, 6+. Again, three hits, one unearned run, a pair of walks, and seven strikeouts. Remains 5-1 into the eighth inning, and some insurance. That's what we're talking about, offense. Leadoff base hit by Urias. He was cut down on a single by Nottingham as the batted ball hit him. Urias, that is. One out later, how about Keston? Have a night.
Here's the 3-0. And Hira to left field, way back and gone. Keston Hira, a two-run home run. And Milwaukee extends their lead. 10th home run of the season for Keston Hira.
Boy, how about that quick bat on a fastball in? Goodness. Boy, he's got a quick bat. That fastball in, it was down a little bit. He's able to get to it. Check it out. That was maybe a little bit in off the plate, down in the zone, and see you later. A bomb to left.
Keston takes over the team lead in home runs with number 10 right there. Knocks in three on the night. And there's your final as Brent Suter would pitch a scoreless eighth. Alex Claudio a scoreless ninth. And the Brewers win game one of this three-game set. And their fifth game in their last seven. 414-799-1250 if you want to talk about the Brewers' victory. Or the Bucks' loss, I'll take that too, because that's just not a good thing. I'm not sure why, just one thing before I bring in Jason here. I'm not sure why I'm not hearing just more emotion whenever I hear a Milwaukee Bucks player or coach speak. I know that they control their emotions a lot better than I do. And I've always admired that, certainly around the baseball players that I've dealt with over the 15 years or so. But, man, at some point, I mean, don't you just kind of lose your cool a little bit? Or don't you just kind of sound like you care? They got to care, though, right? I don't know. 414-799-1250. Jason, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Yeah, I got to start with Bucks, Timmy. I don't understand why nobody on the team can say that 13 points scored in a fourth quarter is absolutely unacceptable. If we're going to be a championship team, we cannot score 13 points. And the other thing is for Giannis to have so much control the way that Sparky's saying, You as a general manager have to say, like, Jonas, I appreciate your suggestions, but we need to win a championship. And if Chris Middleton or Eric Bledsoe are not part of a championship team, you as a general manager have to make that call. Okay, that if you got to trade those guys to get a Chris Paul in here or whatever,
yep.
I mean, you and Giannis seems to be someone that likes to be liked. I never hear him call out teammates. I never hear him call out, even the team as a whole. And a leader has to be able to say, that to call out first himself and then everybody else.
Yeah, I was watching this game, Jason. I get your point. Yeah, no, and you can move the chess pieces around the board. It's okay. And I think good franchises, good organizations are not afraid to pull the trigger on transactions. I mean, that's the main thing. They can't be afraid to do that. But I don't know if this, it just feels weird to me, doesn't it? I know it's a weird and sideways and funky and crazy and all the other definitions put on these seasons, both Brewers and Bucks. But since you're there anyway, you might as well play your ass off. It just doesn't sound right to me with the Bucks situation. It really doesn't. I don't know. That's just me, though. Mike, I'll get you in here before the break. 414-799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Tim, just finishing off the trifecta today. Welcome to the party. Justin Hura, all-star. All-day all-star. Every time the... Now, this is going to be weird to you. You probably didn't realize. The Brewers won Monday. They won Wednesday. They won today. The Bucks lost. If the Brewers play early Sunday and they win, the season's over for the Bucks. Now, this is going to blow your... Now, the Bucks question, this is going to blow your mind. Well, watching that Bucks game, when you're young going to the bars, and you Saturday night and you show up and it's all dudes, there's no women, that was the Bucks game. Now, this is a scenario I hear. Everybody, I heard a guy say trade Giannis. If the Pelicans called, I don't know the general manager's name, and said, we will trade Zion, is it Zion Williams?
Yep.
And a player on our team, point guard, the coach, whatever you want, or a second-round pick. Do you think the Bucks would do it? And I know what you're going to say. No. But think about this. The Supermax, there's no Supermax on Zion. Do you think anything like that could happen?
That would be one hell of a bold move.
Would that make news or what?
Oh, my God. For sure it would.
I'll hang up.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, thank Mike. You seem like a good dude, man. I got to say. No, I wouldn't do it either. You're going to build around Giannis, and that's what you got to do. And if these pieces aren't working, then you got to just keep moving the pieces around a little bit. That's just what you're going to have to do. I mean, if it's not working, what do you think the Brewers are doing right now? Look at the veterans they brought in. You could say that that's an indictment on their decision making. We can debate that all day long. I'm just telling you that they're making adjustments in a very squeezed, shrunken season. A lot quicker decisions are being made. Logan Morrison gone. Brock Holt ain't working, dude. Justin Grimm gotta go. Latest Justin Smoke. And if it's Dan Vogelback that doesn't hit, which he was 2-for-3 tonight, he'll be launched too. I will say this. So I'm watching, keeping an eye on the Brewer game. That is my job. So I'm taking a peek at my phone every few minutes, just making sure I stay up on the Bucks game a little bit. Because I'm a fan, number one. But number two, just so I know what's happening. Austin, I'll bring you in here before the break. What happened? I mean, because early in the fourth, they were like 9, 10, 11 points up. And I'm like, oh, cool. So they're right in the ship here. They'll get back in this thing. It's 2-1. And then it was the last time I checked, it was 99-98. And the final was 115-100. So you're going to tell me they were outscored 17-1? On the way out, that's unofficial, but something like that. Is that right?
Yep, that sounds correct. They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. Their offense just went completely stagnant, turned the ball over, couldn't hit wide open shots, and Miami started to get hot. Jimmy Butler had, I think, 17 fourth quarter points.
And then it got to be like 104-100, and I'm like, yeah, they'll find a way to get this win. And that's 107-100. Then it was 109, and now I just gave up. Now that game's over. 115-100.
Yep, they let that one slip away. That one's still eating at me, Tim.
Yeah, my money's slipping away, too.
I think a lot of people's are.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Well, saving grace here is that in Milwaukee, at least, the Brewers are starting to get things together a little bit. It's not going to look pretty. It won't. But a win's a win, and you're gonna have to have it. He got a little help, got a little luck tonight, an infield single for an RBI. Are you kidding me? That happened not against the Brewers, it happened for the Brewers. A two-run error off the bat of Christian Yelich. That allowed a couple of runs in. There's a little luck that goes on in every baseball game, says manager Craig Counsell. So they get the win tonight, 7-1 the final. They have won five of their last seven. It's the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen after Brewers over the Indians. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Window Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Window Select today at 262-703-3500.
Yeah, the Brewers get the win, game one of a three-game set in Cleveland, and we'll get to Keston Hira in just a second. Craig Counsell on the way as well. Offense starting to do better, I would say, that everyone could agree. They're winning baseball games, and again, Craig Counsell says you have to scrap for some victories. Well, they're doing that. They've won 7 of 11 and 5 of their last 7. So one day at a time, day by day, that's the way you take it. Before we get to Keston Hira, this over email live at 1057FMTheFan.com. This one from Billy said, "Now that the games are over tonight, I'm done with the Bucks because it seems like nobody cares. Now I can focus on the Brewers." Well, there you go, Billy. He went on to say that he's headed down 94 after these games, so he's probably in transit right now down 94 to go visit some friends down in Illinois. Make sure you quarantine, too. They got some funky rules down there. Keston Hira had a night tonight, a couple of hits, an RBI double, a two-run shot, his 10th on the season. Here's Keston after the Brewers win.
Keston, can you tell us about some of the work you've done recently to sort of start to get your timing where you want it to be? Because it looks like there's a lot more loud contact. The homers are coming. Just what have you done to kind of get to where you are right now?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing right now for me is trying to be more upright. I think at times I was kind of leaning over the plate, which kind of changed the pitch perspective. And then, that falls to pitch selection, and then everything else kind of just falls after that. So I think being a little bit more upright, not trying to low too much where I'm getting late to the ball, more of a shorter load, more direct, and kind of staying a little bit open at the plate. So I think, I've been working on that with Haynes, and it's been feeling really good, in the cages, on the field and whatnot.
Did Haynes fire you guys up today?
Oh, he always fires us up. He's so passionate about his job and this team and, the players that you can totally tell you completely invest in all of us. And to get that from him, even on a check swing that, middle, early in the game, it definitely fires you up. Definitely wants to, make you go to battle for him. And hopefully, we're able to get that win for him, and we did.
But then he missed the best part of the game.
No, I mean, I'm quite sure he's watching. He's probably fired up, screaming at the TV inside.
Keston, just with those adjustments that you've been making, how close do you feel that you are to where you want to be in terms of being locked in when you're at your best?
I would say pretty close. Obviously, there's still a lot to work on, getting more on time, getting that foot down a little bit earlier. Pitch selection still, a big thing that, I'm trying to battle with daily, and just being consistent at the plate. So just being able to do that, all that, piece it all together, and, just build it off day by day.
How impressed have you been with what Corbin has given you guys the last couple of starts and his consistency?
Oh, I've been on him since before season even started. You know, I was lucky to be with him in Arizona. You know, he was throwing live at bats to us, and I don't think anyone got a hit off of him. You know, it was just one of those pitchers that you just never feel comfortable in the plate or in the box. You know, he has either 95 to 97 going into you or 93 going away from you, and it's not a comfortable at bat. You know, I'm lucky that we were able to face him you know, early on and kind of get you going a little bit. But I mean, I think other than what the first batter of the game, I don't even know if anyone got a barrel after that. So he did a great, tremendous job tonight. And you know, every time he's on the mound, you know, it's something you want to tune into and you know, see what he can do.
Anything else, guys?
Kesson, just in the bigger picture, as a team, you feel like the offense, you feel better about it over the past week?
Yeah. I mean, I think the matter of you know, getting those timely hits, you know, in big at bats and big spots where, you know, runners are on base, whether it's moving them over, getting your job done, I think we've been able to do that a little bit better than in the beginning of the season. So, you know, with this, you know, September, you know, having a few more off days, I think it'll help, you know, the bats and the bodies get a little bit more fresh and, you know, get in time for, you know, September.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
You know, I was thinking about this today here with 23 games remaining here in the 2020 championship season. It just like the summertime is a blur, isn't it? This might be, just buckle in, a really perceptually long winter. Man, but so enjoy it while we can, and I certainly am doing that. Brewers did tonight, 7-1 the final. Check out the numbers here. Ben Gamble goes 3-for-5 with a run scored. Keston Hira, you just heard from him, 2-for-4, a pair of runs scored, 3 RBIs and a walk. Christian Yelich goes 0-for-4, 1 run scored, a walk and a couple of strikeouts. Jed Jerko in the game, 1-for-3 with a run scored and a walk. Look at the walks. Vogelback, 2-for-3 in his Brewers debut. We'll take that. Orlando Arcia goes 0-for-5. Jace Peterson 0-for-2 with a walk. Urias 2-for-3, 1 run scored with an RBI and a walk. Jacob Nottingham goes 1-for-3 with a run scored and a walk. Tyrone Taylor 0-for-1. Ryan Braun 1-for-2. Big pinch hit, RBI base hit in that seventh inning. Mark Mathias goes 0-for-2. Pitching lines tonight, Corbin Burnes outstanding again. 6-plus innings of work, 3 hits, 1 run. It was unearned. Pair of walks and 7 strikeouts. Brent Suter, a couple of scoreless innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, and 2 strikeouts. Alex Claudio, 1 inning and zeros across the board. Brewers get 7 runs on 12 hits with an error. Cleveland just 1 run on 4 hits, 1 error. The win goes to Corbin Burnes, 2-0 and a 2.35. Maton gets the loss, but a 2.35 earned run average for Corbin Burnes. Brewers 18-19, starting to put things together a little bit here in the month of September. They win this one, and they go 23 games left. And coming into today, 4.5 back of front-running Chicago. Keep in mind, you know, you've got these 2 games left over the weekend in Cleveland, a couple of games in Detroit against the Tigers. And then it's the last homestand of the year, which is going to feature the first 8 games in 6 days against the Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals. And not to overlook the next 4 games on this road trip. Well, it's going to be interesting here and every game. Guys, you heard tonight, those of you that followed the game real close, whether it was on TV or radio, you heard the difference in the dugout here. I think the Brewers know that the pressure's on them right now. It's every situation. It's every inning. It's every pitching change. It's a pinch hit appearance. It's coming up with a 2-strike, 2-out base hit to knock in a run. It's huge right now. We've got We got a playoff chase going on here, and those are the facts here. Bucks lose tonight 115-100. Brewers win tonight 7-1 the final. It is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, and we'll hear from Craig Counsell next. I heard him say a naughty word tonight in that dugout, and I knew it was him. You'd recognize his voice. I wish I could play you the highlight. The evil side of me would be entertained by that, but I don't think my bosses would be. 7-1 the final. Counts next here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
You were probably focused a little bit more on the Milwaukee Bucks game. I understand that. 115-100, Game 3, Eastern Conference semifinal loss. And their backs are against the wall now. Well, you know, strange things can happen. They're setting themselves up to make history. I guess you could look at it that way for sure. Turning point in a Brewers 7-1 victory. How about the four-run seventh inning to break a 1-1 tie? They get a little help along the way, but that was a huge turning point after Burns held up his end of the bargain, going six-plus innings of work, allowing just one unearned run. That shouldn't have been an unearned run. I think that was just a bad call, but nonetheless, turning point with Great Lakes Dragway, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Check out track rental and event details at greatlakesdragway.com. And that four-run seventh inning, big-time turning point in a Brewers victory. Craig Counsell after the win.
Craig, we've seen Keston in the last couple of weeks sort of just kind of slowly start getting his hits and now maybe doing a little more damage with some of the hits. Like, what are you seeing? Do you think he's getting back to where he needs to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a little bit of a change, probably like middle of the homestand started to happen, I thought. I think he's swinging the bat good. Just a small thing that he's doing a little better job of. And what it amounts to is just not missing some pitches he gets to hit.
Just what Brent Corbin had working for him tonight, and just how vital has he been just over the course of the season, just being steady pretty much every time out there so far?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was really good again tonight. He's into just a nice mix of pitches and has confidence in what he's doing, and most importantly, probably just making the hitter defend enough that when you combine that with his plus velocity, that he's just making it really tough on guys. So he's in a good spot, and he's been, and I agree with you, he's been very consistent, probably is the best trait of it. It's two in a row where he's been really outstanding, and just in this, probably what's changed a little bit, he's done a little better last two starts, just in the strike zone a little bit more. Some walks had hurt him earlier, but he's been in the strike zone the last two starts, and that's the difference.
How much of a stabilizing force has he been, Craig, for the rotation since he's gotten back in there?
Well, I think our rotation overall has been a productive part of our team. So, the rotation is a kind of a unit, and they work together, and delivering innings is important, but Corbin's been solid. I mean, he's been really, really solid. His numbers are, look really nice. He's just been solid, and that's impressive. He had a rough season last year, and how he's bounced back and taken the challenge of it, and how Chris Hook and himself have come up with this plan of who he's going to be. I'm really happy for that partnership. Those guys have worked together for years, really. And, one thing Chris was very adamant about in the winter was that Corbin is going to be a guy for us, and he's going to get it right. And Corbin's delivered that.
Craig, on that play where you feel like their runner was inside the line, did you go back and did you have to even go back and see it? You think you just missed that?
I would tell you one thing that's changed about, you know, I don't get to see much of the game. I don't see much of what happens anymore because the video room is locked. So our access to video is so much more limited. And so I'm not, when I walk in here every night, I haven't seen plays that have happened. It almost feels like kind of the NBA, how you heard the Bucks talk about the end of the game two. Like I have to go back and look at the plays because I haven't seen them. And our players a lot of times haven't seen them. So we have to go back and kind of look at that. So I can't tell you where he was at. I just know that, the way that play happened, there's a good chance that a right-handed hitter is running on the grass when that happens. And it's, unfortunately, the umpire has to really call, he has to call it right away. My argument out there is often going to be futile if they haven't called it when it happens. And it's going to be very difficult for me to change their mind. But it's what causes, it's what makes the throw really difficult for Jacob is that if a guy's on the grass right there, he's got no place to go. The first baseman can only stretch so far, and he's got no place to go with the throw.
What did all of the late runs in the seventh and eighth do to just get by with the two relievers with Brent and with Alex and how that sets you up for the rest of the weekend?
Well, it's really important as kind of how we're just sitting as a team. The off days here, we have off days and we're using those. We're going to use those to our advantage. And we had an off day yesterday and didn't have to use those guys. So we're in really good shape. And it's because we got a really well pitched game and the offense delivered some runs. So we're in good shape going into the last two games and kind of feel like we're loaded. I think Brent will be available, definitely on Sunday with the low pitch count. So we're in good shape. Couldn't win any better just from a pitching perspective.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
You know, it is sort of splitting hairs here on that play. You just heard Craig Counsell talking about that play, the unearned run that was given up, the error was on Jacob Nottingham on the throw. You know, a couple of things on that play. I think he was a little inside the base pass, but I think he was too close to first base for an umpire to give him that call. I mean, if the base runner is, 6 or 8 feet away from first base on his way there, I think they get that call. And I think, Nottingham probably learned something a little bit. The first baseman's got to come way inside, give him a big target. Nottingham's got to go way inside, even if it's a hop step in, to make sure you have a clear path. But, I mean, the key here is that DeShields Jr. was too close to the bag to get that call. I'm not going to call that the Are You Kidding Me moment with Gene Wagner Plumbing. I think there's two of them. One would be Ryan Braun. Now, here's where Craig Counsell, you say, well, play the hot hand. You got to make changes. They are making changes. We all understand that. Another example of that was Justin Smoak, DFA'd. But you got to trust Craig Counsell at times, and sometimes it's difficult to do that. You have Vogelbach, who is 2-for-3 in the game. And simply because it was a righty-lefty situation, then Ryan Braun, by the way, he can play a little bit, had two ABs today. But Counsell lifts the 2-for-3 guy, the hot hand, to go to Ryan Braun, and what do we know? It's an RBI base hit. I mean, it just continues to prove you wrong, and in a good way, in a really good way. I love debating that. So that's one Are You Kidding Me moment with Gene Wagner Plumbing. The other, I can say this, is the outcome of the Milwaukee Bucks-Miami Heat game. That is just, are you kidding me? After all of this, after the best record in the NBA, Home field throughout. Oh, home court throughout. That doesn't matter anymore now, does it? That's really an are you kidding me moment as well with Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. And, yeah, that's tough. All right, we'll take a break. You want to squeeze in here? I'll make room for you. 414-799-1250. The good news, however, after that Bucks debacle here in Game 3, good news, the Brewers picked them up a little bit. A 7-1 win over a good Cleveland Indians squad. Their record with the loss is still 24-14. Brewers 18-19. They get game one game at a time, guys. Starting to play better baseball. 7 of 11. They've won 5 of their last 7. We'll be back here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
7-1, the final. Brewers get the victory in game one of this three-game set and 23 games left. Brewers have battled their way back to 1 under .500. We're going to check the scoreboard to see where they sit in the standings here after today's play, but just 23 games left. Now, there are a couple of off days here that will allow the Brewers and Craig Counsell to kind of line up the pitchers the way they want them. The rest of the weekend, Woodruff going tomorrow, and then Brett Anderson will be on the hill on Sunday's series finale, but just 23 left, and that means, guys, that just every game, every single game is huge, every situation. You know, they've done a nice job in the last couple of years in the months of September of 18 and 19, so hopefully that trend will continue. Spark of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. Let's see here. Spark of the game could be Keston Hira, 2-for-4 with a walk, a couple of runs scored, and 3 RBIs, his 10th home run. I'm going to call that the spark of the game. He is the spark of the game with Current Electric. Starting to heat up a little bit. You heard Keston just a short time ago talk about some adjustments he made, and you know that's the whole key. Is, you know, the league is going to adjust to him a little bit, and he's going to have to adjust back. He hasn't even played a full season in the big leagues yet. It just seems like he's been here forever, doesn't it? 84 games last year, and now we're, what, 36, 37 games in here this year. I mean, that's it. That's not even a full season. I mean, I can't imagine what Keston Hira is going to be. As I stated the other day, you know, 2-3 years down the line, you might have a big-time superstar here in Milwaukee. And his name isn't Christian Yelich. Well, his name is Christian Yelich. But there would be another one in a Brewers uniform. And it could be Keston Hira offensively. He's got everything going for him offensively. Now, before the game, I don't know if you guys caught this piece of information that with the exit of Justin Smoak, well, who's going to cover first base? Predominantly, that's going to be Jed Jerko. And Vogelbach has been, Counsell said that he's going to mainly get his ABs in the DH spot. But then who is going to play a little first base? He added that Mark Mathias was going to play some first base, and he did tonight, by the way. And then Keston Hira will get some time at first base. Now, a lot of people have been asking us and asking me about, they need a corner infield guy for the future. They just do. Well, maybe they've got him already. I mean, this thing about you have to be a tall guy to play first base, I don't know how valid that is. I'm sure it helps. There's no question it helps a little bit, but Keston Hira maybe even a little bit better at first base than he would be at second base. You know his issues defensively, 16 errors in those 84 games last year. So you might just have something there first base-wise in Keston Hira. Now, Ryan Braun, there's another deal. We heard last couple of years, Ryan Braun's going to take – he's been taking some reps at first base and taking ground balls and – when was the last time he actually played the position? Now with the ailing back, I'm assuming that that's the latest injury is his back. I don't think that's well suited for a first baseman, but nonetheless, he got in there today. Craig Counsell said before the game that, you know, he's probably going to be ready to go by tomorrow or Sunday or soon. He needs to play. He's got to play. I don't care how bad you're hurting here down the stretch. You're going to have to play baseball, Ryan Braun. You saw it tonight. A couple of at-bats for Ryan Braun and an RBI single in a pinch-hit appearance in his first AB. On the pitching front, Corbin Burnes, you wonder, sometimes the shutdown and the pandemic did affect players adversely. Christian Yelich would be one of them. You know, offensively, just cannot get on track. 0 for 4 tonight. But in another way, Corbin Burnes may have been helped by it in a weird way. It just was a little less pressure. And he went through a lot during the offseason. That's pretty well documented. But, man, he is putting together something else of a season here. A 2.35 ERA after his performance tonight. Another six-inning performance, six plus tonight. He did walk the leadoff man in the seventh. So you get a starter that's heading into the seventh inning, and he's only allowed the one run. That was unearned. Let's hear from Corbin Burnes after this one.
Just another really good outing for you. What was working for you tonight? And just how satisfying has this whole season been for you so far, just the way you've kind of bounced back from last year?
Yeah, you know, tonight was pretty good. We were able to mix it up on these guys quite a bit. You know, you got a lot of professional hitters in this lineup, a lot of good hitters. So we had a pretty good game plan coming in, and you know, we had to divert some things a little bit based off some swings, but Nadia did a great job back there of calling the game, and we were able to, you know, keep him off balance and get some weak contact.
Corbin, that's back-to-back starts where Jacob has caught you. Do you guys just have a good rhythm going right now, or just a good relationship in terms of how you guys are communicating and game planning?
It's a little bit of both. You know, obviously right now we have a good rhythm going, but you know, I've found Donati dating back to, you know, 2017 now. So he's caught me more than probably any catcher that is, you know, we have in our system. So, you know, just the comfortability there, I mean, he knows what all the pitches are doing. Even with the new stuff this year, he caught me a lot in spring training and also in summer camps. So he just knows everything works. And, you know, he knows the little, you know, the little nuances of, you know, what it takes to get me back online when I seem to get a little wild.
Hey, Corbin, when they get the first three guys on in that fifth, what do you sort of tell yourself on the mound there?
You know, you just got to bear down and make some pitches. You know, there's usually one or two innings every game that you have to go out and you need to execute, you know, six, seven good pitches. And, you know, that happened to be the inning for me. You know, threw three good pitches there to Hedges to get the punch out, and then had a good ground ball to DeShields, and then was able to get out of it with Hernandez after that. But, you know, that was probably the inning that kind of separated that outing of, you know, could it go good or bad, and be able to bear down and get out of it.
Corbin, a lot of ground ball outs for you, especially early tonight. How helpful was that?
Yeah, so, I mean, this lineup is very patient outside of a couple guys. So we know we were going to have to be in the zone early. And I think their game plan against me was to come out swinging early. So, you know, sinker was really good tonight. Cutter was really good and was able to throw some quality pitches there at the bottom of the zone and get some early ground outs.
Corbin, you've seen Keston Hira for a number of years now. And he's been kind of slowly getting his hits. Like, he's just been coming around a little bit. I don't know. How important do you think he could be to get the offense moving a little bit more if he continues to do that?
Yeah, I mean, he would definitely be a great spark to the lineup just to kind of get everyone going. You know, we're seeing it in spurts a little bit now with our guys that, you know, some days it's there and some days we start to lack a little bit. But, you know, I think everyone's going to, you know, it's about that time everyone starts, you know, swing the bat. It's good to see Keston swinging it. Yelly's taking some good swings up there. Just having those guys constantly in the lineup makes it a pretty scary lineup to face.
Yeah, there is Corbin Burnes after the performance tonight. It's interesting to hear Corbin Burnes there, kind of a chill delivery after the game and off the air. And I've interviewed him a number of times. Just a good dude. But you seem, you know, in game, in the zone, if you will. Dude is a competitor, that's for sure. Hey, before the break here, Trevor Bauer tweeted this out. Austin, you can read that tweet from Trevor Bauer, and it had something to do with the Brewers.
Yeah, just give me 1 second here, Tim.
Yeah, grab that thing. I thought it was really interesting, and it involves, Trevor Bauer. He's never at a loss for words on social media, that's right. For sure.
I got it here for you. Lessons to be learned today. Apparently, if you homer off me, you get DFA'd shortly thereafter. First it was what's-his-name with the Brewers, now it's smoke. Dang. For all the hitters out there, hashtag protect yourself and hashtag save your job. Don't homer me.
Now, that is funny. Why the what's-his-name? I'm assuming he's talking about Logan Morrison.
It had to have been Morrison.
So, I mean, maybe there's some history there. And he just doesn't want to
kick out of it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to mention his name, but that is interesting. That's one of the moves the Brewers made since the game on Wednesday. Corey Knebel, some news on him after the break here that is pretty encouraging. Dan Vogelbach was picked up. Justin Smoke DFA'd. Justin Topa and Phil Bickford have exited. Jed Jerko back from bereavement, and Brandon Woodruff back from paternity. We'll have all that for you next. Check out, are the Brewers in third, or maybe they wiggled their way into second place in the Central? We'll take a look at the NL Central scoreboard and any major news around the league. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after a Brewers 7-1 victory. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Well, we know about this one, game one of a three-game set. Brewers in Cleveland at Progressive as they get the 7-1 win. Corbin Burns, six-plus innings of work. Brent Suter, a couple of scoreless innings. And Alex Claudio with one rack as well. Burnsy just gives up the one run. That was unearned, so hats off to the Brewers pitchers. Just four hits allowed to that Cleveland offense. Brewers with the victory, 18-19, and we'll bring in Austin, Texas here as we'll check the scoreboard and some interesting comments from Rob Manfred. But Brewers have found themselves with this victory, in second place now?
They are into second place now, Tim.
Nice.
Give you that updated standings here in a minute. But first, we'll start off in Pittsburgh, where the Reds and the Pirates had a doubleheader today. In game one of the two games today, Luis Castillo picks up the victory.
First on the season.
Yeah, 1-5 on the year after an all-star year last year. Not a great start to the season this year. The Reds would take game one 4-2. Castillo gets his first win. Brault took his second loss on the season. And Iglesias got his fifth of the year. Game two, the Pirates would get their revenge. They would take down the Reds 4-3 in game two.
Okay.
Howard with the win. He's now 2-1. Bauer took another loss. Our guy that we were just talking about.
Okay, so he's coming back down to earth.
Yep, he's coming back down to earth. He's now 3-3, and Ronnie Rodriguez would pick up his save, his third on the year. And then we head to Chicago, where the Cardinals and the Cubs took place, or battled today. Obviously, we don't want to see yet either of them win, but someone's got to. And today it was the Cubs. They won 4-1. Darvish picked up his seventh win. He's now 7-1.
Yeah,
Flaherty falls to 2-1.
He's going back to what he was a few years ago. Dude's good. He's legit good.
Yeah, tonight he went 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run with 11 Ks.
Yeah. He's I was just seeing a piece, I think on ESPN, what made him get back to superstar and ace status. So there was a lot talked about Darvish being some money that was wasted in Chicago. It doesn't look like that now.
Nope, and then our guy Jeremy Jeffress picked up his fifth save of the year for the Cubs in that one. Now we'll head to the standings. The Cubs still sit in first place at 23-15. They are 4.5 games ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers, who are now tied for second with the Cardinals. Brewers 18-19, Cardinals now 14-15. They're also 4.5 back. The Reds sit in fourth place at 17-22, 6.5 back. And the Pirates in the basement at 12-25, 10.5 back.
Yeah, just a little inventory on the schedule here as we're starting to get down to it here. 23 games left, a little over 3 weeks left in the regular season. They will finish up the weekend in Cleveland, an off day on Monday for the Crew, then a quick two-game set in Detroit against the Tigers on Tuesday and Wednesday, then another off day on Thursday. So you do want to finish these games up. That's a great start to these five games. I mean, if you can come out of this 3-2, or, I mean, hey, imagine the best. I mean, a 4-1 mark through these five games, that would be huge. But one game at a time for sure. I will say this, that there is the next homestand that is approaching, and that is key and somewhat significant, obviously, because you've got three games against the Chicago Cubs, Austin, and then you've got five games in 3 days, two doubleheaders against the St. Louis Cardinals, and that is the throwdown sort of eight-game march right there. And they're going to be at Miller Park, but nonetheless, it's eight games in the 6 days is what you've got there. And when it's doubleheaders, you never know. I mean, you do get one extra player added to the roster for those particular days, but that's coming up soon. But first, day by day, and they'll go back at it tomorrow, game two against the Indians. More on that in a second. Rob Manfred, sort of, I don't know if he's justifying his existence at all or if he's just saying, I want to let you guys know where I'm at here. But he had some interesting quotes, Austin.
Yeah, he did. So he's been taking a lot of heat for all the changes and everything going on with the Astros this past offseason. So he's been taking a lot of heat for that. So he answered back at all of his critics by saying, I think it's the discussion of change. Their logic, I believe, is he wants to change it, therefore he doesn't love it. My logic is, I love it. It needs to be consummate with today's society in order for people to continue to love it. And therefore, I'm willing to take whatever criticism comes along the way in an effort to make sure that the game is something Americans will continue to celebrate.
Yeah, and that's the final couple of lines there that really I agree with. I agree with that. Now, you'll have to ask me what changes I agree or disagree with. But just in a general term there, yeah, I mean, it's always shifting on the fly. These games change. Guys, who'd have thought we'd be going to replay, you know, in baseball? I mean, nobody ever thought that. I mean, the expanded playoffs, are you kidding me? I mean, back in the day, there were only four divisions in baseball. You know, back way back when, you didn't have as many rounds. You didn't have as many playoff teams. I mean, it's always an evolving thing. Football, same thing. We changed. Three-point shot in basketball. You'd have talked to someone in the 70s, well, this is going to be a three-point shot. A what? No, a three-point play. You mean foul and one? No, a three-point shot. And I will say this, you can't rule out the evolution of these games, and I think that's what Manfred is talking about. Heck, who knows? In the NBA, you could have a five-point shot at some time. You never know. All right, that's going to do it for us, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. A special little surprise for you tomorrow. I have a band event, and that's not the surprise. But the surprise is my fill-in, Rami Makhlouf, my man, is going to be in the seat, and he'll be hopefully talking about a Brewers Game 2 victory over the Cleveland Indians. Aaron Civelli against Brandon Woodruff off the paternity leave. And Woody, I keep saying this, but he's due for just an absolute gem of a game. If the guy goes five or six innings and allows two or three runs and that's his bad, I'll take that bad, because you know the good's going to be way, way good. I just wonder if his first start as a father for the first time is going to help things out a little bit. But we'll see. After the last pitch tomorrow night, make the switch. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, as I said. Don't forget, on Sunday, big day of sports here as well. First edition of Fantasy Football Weekly, as we'll get you ready. You believe the NFL is this Thursday? This Thursday kicks off the NFL season. Fantasy Football Sunday morning at 10, then the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show at 11, getting you ready for the final game of this series. Kentucky Derby, 4:30 tomorrow right here on The Fan. You got some money on it? Yeah, flip on AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan. All right, for Austin, Texas, my name is Tim Allen. Guys, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Unfortunately, bad news, Bucks fall in game three. Good news, Brewers take game one of the three-game series. So there's a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. We'll talk to you soon. And remember, as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.